cannot be my disciples. When it comes down to it, our spiritual commitment and preparation isn't about how hard we strive. It's about being willing to give up our striving according to this world. It's about willing to give up our foolish building plans, our foolish plans for warfare, to give them all up and to look to the only one who has done this, Jesus.
The following message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. September 7th, 2025. Luke 14, verses 25 to 35.
Imagine a husband and a wife buy a brand new house. It's their first home, and they're so excited to move into that house, so they plant a tree next to their house, a nice bushy tree. And year by year, they watch that tree, they feed it, they give it some fertilizer, and it grows. And then they put a row of bushes next to their house that they're so proud of. It just highlights the look of the house, and they treasure it. And then to stoke the fireplace, they stack a big pile of wood so that they can throw it in their warm fireplace. And the children grow to love that tree next to the house, and they play near the wood pile and enjoy everything so wonderfully. Sounds great, until you realize this is a house that's supposed to be firewising, and they are actually on the committee to encourage other neighbors to firewise, but there's that tree. It's right against their house, and it's all bushy, and it leads right up to the eaves and the gutters, and that wood pile. Everybody knows you're not supposed to stack a pile of wood and kindling right next to your house. Oh, you know the kind of bush they planted? It's one that's leading right along the edge of the wooden house, right next to the edge of their property. Everything is off, and don't they see the danger that if they don't get rid of those bushes, they don't cut down that tree, their house is liable when a fire comes to burn down. Oh, but they love that tree. How could they ever cut it down? And the fireplace is so cozy. You might see the irony of it all. This is what Jesus speaks of when he tells us some words that cut the heart. And he tells us not simply to cut down trees or bushes around our house to make sure the flames can't get us in the southwest. No, Jesus here is speaking about the things that we treasure or even the people close to us. And he says words that cut the heart so deep because he says not only should you distance yourself, but if they become a danger, or if they are those pathways by which the fires of hell will reach you, he says, you should hate mother, daughter, children, spouse, any one of those. You should hate even your own life and be willing to suffer greatly. Otherwise, he says, you cannot be my disciple. That's what we see as we look at Luke 14 and we consider these words that cut the heart. You see, Jesus is speaking to large crowds, and he already has had this crowd talk of those who wanted to follow him, and he talks about how difficult it is as he says, you have to come and not look back to follow him and follow him with commitment. And for the large crowds that do decide to continue to follow him, even though they hear it's going to be difficult, he says this to the large crowds, if anyone comes to me, anyone, and does not hate father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now we might hear those words, very hard words, and take a step back and say, well, doesn't Jesus want us to love our mother and father and our children? Doesn't he want us even to love our enemy? What is he getting at here? Well, the point he makes is not so much the emphasis on hating them. This is a hyperbole, a strong emphasis to let you know what he says elsewhere. If you don't love God more than these, or rather, if you love your family, your friends, even your own life more than God, then you cannot be his disciple. Because these things can come in between us and God. When we set out on our discipleship, we sometimes want to put one foot in that comfortable world that we're used to, the world around us where we can just get along with our family and love others, And there's never any disputes, never any arguments. We want to be comfortable and avoid conflict. And then maybe we'll put another foot as we say, yeah, I also want Christ and the things that he proclaims, and I want him in my life. And sometimes those two feet are at odds, one balancing on the loved ones around you, even your own spouse sometimes, and the other one on Christ. And when that balancing act starts to happen, that you have to decide which one you're going to put full weight on when you're about to fall over, sometimes we lean in the wrong direction. Consider how this plays out. Jesus says, if you love your spouse, your mother, your father, your children, your wife, more than me, or if you love them and don't hate them when they come between you and God, what are you doing? He is the Lord of life. He is the one who gave you everything. He's the one who, consider this, gave you those children and your spouse. And when we start to treasure those things or cling to them in place of God, or when they pull us away from God, it's like that person clinging to that bush around their house and saying, I love this bush more than I love my house. Or saying, I love the fireplace that I can put in my house and this wood pile here, despite the dangers it presents. I love that more than I love my house itself. The kingdom of God is that precious gift. The house of God is what we have been given. And God is saying, when there's danger, you need to despise, scorn, turn away from those things. When somebody finds themselves with a boyfriend or girlfriend who's not Christian, or who has one foot in the world and wants to pull their spouse away from Christ, Jesus says, watch out. Or maybe the foolish person hears their spouse say, I don't really want to study God's word at home or at church. I don't really need that. And I'm afraid if I spend time in that, I'll be wasting my time, or maybe even I'll find out that I don't really believe it. That fool is pulling that person away from Christ. Or if someone says, well, I don't want to go to church this week because even though I know I should proclaim God's name, my children are visiting. They don't really go for that. And I want to make sure that my children know that I love them, right? And in place of sending the signal that you honor and worship God, you tell them they are more important than your God. Do we see how this goes? How easy it is for the things close to us, yes, even our own life, to begin to be something that comes between us and our God. You might say, well, Jesus, this is too strong. Hate? It's the only time we actually see him telling us to hate family or self or our own life. But Jesus did this. When Peter, the one that was one of his close inner circle disciples, the apostle Peter told Jesus something that came between him and fulfilling the Father's will. There Jesus was, seeing the danger, and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Seeing that what Peter was longing for Jesus to do was to succumb to the fires of hell instead of fight against them. And so Jesus despised even his closest. And Jesus left behind his brothers and sisters as he began to preach the kingdom of God. And they said, he's out of his mind. But he said, no, I'm not. Listen to the word of God. Serve the Lord and love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. How hard it is for us to do this, to love, to commit to following Jesus, not just half-heartedly or saying, I'll put one foot in serving him and one foot in another, or I'll maybe follow him when it's convenient or when it doesn't interfere with the loved ones in my life. But to follow and serve him as the one you love above all. And yes, if need be, in place of others who pull you away. So Jesus gives us two illustrations about the Christian life. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Sadly, how often don't we see that playing out in the spiritual life of God's people? They're being built into the house of God, They make their confession either on confirmation day, and they say, yes, I will, with God's help, serve and honor him. Or they make their confession as they speak to the world around them, and yet, slowly, bit by bit, because of maybe family members, maybe because of their own life and preference, they slowly set aside their building plans. And the person sees this Christian who professes to serve God, and they see them clinging to some sin or leading others into sin. And the building that they're building is not the kingdom of God. It's this world. And the world looks on and they see the foolishness, what should be foolishness of God's people, building an earthly house. But they're building it in such a way that God's house, God's kingdom is no longer involved. What happened to their building plan? They weren't able to complete it. They weren't wise enough. They didn't use the tools, the word of God that he had given to sustain their building program. They didn't rely on the blueprints and the plan of God's word regarding all the things he directs us in his commands, but they turned to their own foolish way and the building stands unfinished. And people in this world ridicule such Christians, saying, look at that hypocrite. They serve Christ, doesn't look like it. Jesus lays out another plan as he says, suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able to face the 10,000, his 10,000 against 20? Or won't he then send a delegation for peace? This isn't Jesus' main point, but we certainly see a parallel truth. Our struggle in the kingdom of God is a spiritual warfare. And so it's fitting he should describe our commitment as like one going off to battle. Do we see as we commit to following Christ that what we are about to go against is far beyond us? That we are waging war with demons and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms? Do we see the cunning power of the devil who stands opposed to us? And then do we, in our own foolishness, decide, I can do this? And we go headlong into a battle that will only be lost in terrible defeat as the devil brings our house down, our spirits down, and drags us with him to the fires of hell. And like that house that we mentioned at the start, we're engulfed by the flames of God's judgment with the enemies of God. Or rather, Jesus says, won't we plan out what we're doing and realize how hopeless the plan might be, and so make a new plan, a plan that we can commit to and follow through and seek for terms of peace, not with the enemy, but with the reconciler, turning to God. Notice you might say to yourself, how can I be this committed? How can I hate family? How can I make such a plan to build, a plan to fight? Well, notice Jesus says here, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. When it comes down to it, our spiritual commitment and preparation isn't about how hard we strive. It's about being willing to give up our striving according to this world. It's about willing to give up our foolish building plans, our foolish plans for warfare, to give them all up and to look to the only one who has done this, Jesus. Think of the commitment he had. As I mentioned, not only losing his brothers and sisters as he sought to serve his Father, but losing everything. Jesus, so committed that even, yes, he was willing to let his own betray and desert him. Jesus, who was so dedicated and committed to building God's kingdom, to building the house of God, that he had a plan from eternity and nothing would deter him from that plan, which is a plan including building you into his house. And Jesus, the Son of God, saw the enemy which stood against you, the spiritual forces of evil, and how they would devour each and every one of us with our foolish plans, and how we would fail to win that battle. And so Jesus came, just as promised, with a committed, perfect plan to step in your place, to fight that enemy. And when he approached the cross, he said, now the prince of this world, the devil, is driven out. In defeating that devil and all the forces of evil by his cross, by his suffering, He redeemed us. And we no longer have to sue for terms of peace with the enemy, but with our God, who won the battle for us and took our place. The fully committed Son of God, who rose in victory. You see, he saw the plan would win out in the end, that he would live, and we, the people of God, would live with him. So when Jesus says, if you do not hate brother, sister, mother, wife, even yourself, if you are not willing to take up suffering and your cross for my sake, he's speaking of the worthiness of what he's given us. Why would we turn aside from the closest things to us? Why would we be willing to let go of that precious loved one if they come between us and our God? Why would we be willing to let our life face suffering? Because Jesus has won everything. And what we are committed to is following him who was able to finish building God's house, to him who was able to defeat his enemy. And what stands in store for us are eternal blessings in his kingdom, life everlasting, peace with God and with one another through him. This, my dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, is worth holding on to more than anything. When we say, Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow you, it is worth it. Jesus lives. And though these words might cut the heart when he tells us to be willing to let go of all else, he has given us everything. Amen.